Okay.
Oh.
You are now about to start recording this year. When you are finished, please hang up.
Okay. B'shem Hashem na'aseh v'natzliach. Welcome everybody. First of all, we are going to have these. The 10 sessions are not interconnected. You don't need. If you miss one, you don't come one. It's not based in that. You know, they are each one of them. I hope it's going to be independently understood and hopefully beneficial. We're going to try with that to start on time. We're going to be talking about, the topic is about relationships, and obviously I'm not a disclaimer, I'm not any kind of professional to give you, like, as far as, like, therapy, etc., etc. This is basically to share with you some Torah insights about relationships, and it's not just about marriage. It's relationships, all together. There is a perek in Tehilim Mem Tet. David HaMelech talks about this world in terms of, he refers to this world as Khaled. So then Farshim ask, what does Khaled mean? Right. There are different, we have different terms about, like, in the world in Hebrew. So Rav Hirsch explains that, Khaled comes from Chaluda. Chaluda is rusting. David HaMelech basically is telling us that, anything that has to do with this world, it's temporary. It's not, it doesn't stay. Anything that it's in any way that it's connected to Olam Hazeh, to this world, it's something temporary and not lasting. But in the same chapter in Tehilim, David HaMelech tells us what stays. Right? He says, "V'azvu la'acherim chelam." The famous pasuk in Tehilim, "V'azvu la'acherim chelam." Chayr in Hebrew has different meanings. One of them is wealth, success, etc. So David HaMelech, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains, he says, the relationships that we create, right, whenever we come out of ourselves, we are givers. Azru, it's also like Azru. This is something that is a true chai, this is something that stays. Basically, he's telling us that what is going to stay from us after 120 years, it's basically the relationships that we create. These are relationships that, what we create with Hashem. Thank you. And also, among us, and it's the ultimate one, it's in marriage. Like, in other words, the reason of these relationships, one is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The everlasting, relationship that, never stops. This is something that stays forever. And also, the relationships we create with our other human beings, it's friendships, and the ultimate friendship, like Arizal says, when the Torah says, "V'ahavta lecha kamocha," it's marriage. Right? That through marriage, the relationship that is created through marriage, these are things that stay. Right? This is V'azvu la'acherim chelam. This is the chayil that stays forever and ever. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, you see, what you want to do is really to get some Torah insights into relationships. How to create relationships that Be'ezrat Hashem are going to be lasting, to create, and also to elevate the ones. We see in the Torah that when Hashem creates Adam HaRishon, unlike all the other creatures, right, all the other creatures were created, like, as couples. Right, but when it comes to Adam, to human beings, first Hashem creates Adam HaRishon without a mate. And then later, after Adam HaRishon feels what is it like being lonely, right? When he's bodded all by himself, he feels like, you know, the necessity, the need, right, to have a mate. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Chava. Hashem does not, and Ramban explains that, like, you know, Hashem does not create it right away, right? That it's like, you know, like all the other creatures, he could have created them like, you know, pairs. But when it comes to Adam HaRishon, Adam was the only species that was created by himself, just, you know, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, you know, and the Midrash tells, you know, the Torah says, Ula Adam lo matzah lo ezer kenegdo. And Adam HaRishon saw that, you know, what he needs, it's different than the need of all the other creatures. And when he was totally, totally desperate and depressed about being alone, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, then what it says, Hashem says, like, you know, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam to sleep, which that also is like in a state of weakness. And then Hashem created Chava. By the way, to quote Rav Ben David, he says, it doesn't say in the Torah that Hashem woke up Adam HaRishon from his sleep. So men are still, they continue to slumber, right? Or they are, or you know, if the wife sometimes see that, you know, their husbands are forgetful about a lot of things, don't blame it on them, blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem forgot to wake up Adam HaRishon from his tardema. It says Hashem put the tardema in him before he created Chava. So, but, you know, so we see that, you know, we see that Adam HaRishon could not have been what Hashem had in mind in, you know, in, as his person creation by being alone, right? Lo tov heyot Adam levado. The Torah tells us Adam cannot be tov levado, levado being by himself. Eselo ezer kenegdo. We need company. We need to have, like, you know, and as I said, it's like, you know, it's having friends, relationships. It's not just limited to, you know, to into marriage, right? The Gemara, there is a very popular quote that it says, "O chevruta o mituta." It says, if there is no friendship, if there is no relationships, then it's mituta, it's like death. The Gemara tells us about there was a certain one of the Amoraim that, you know, he fell asleep, and then after 7 years, when he woke up, right, he went back to his town, and nobody knew him, and nobody could, you know, so he preferred to, you know, not to be in this world. He says that the Gemara says, "O chevruta o mituta." We need within that companion, and the Torah tells us that actually, you know, we grow through friendships, we grow through the relationships that we create. It's very interesting that we see it from the beginning of creation, we see it by Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, that the term Gadol in Hebrew Gadol means big. But in what connotation Gadol comes in the Torah, it's very interesting. We see it at the beginning of creation, the Torah says that Hashem created two Me'orot, two sources of light. Et HaMe'or HaGadol ve'et HaMe'or HaKatan. The big one and the small one. Mm-hmm. So Rav Soloveitchik says that why is the sun called Me'or HaGadol? Because the sun is a giver. The sun gives light to the moon. So we see that in Hebrew, being a Gadol, maturing, it's like being a giver. The sun is called HaMe'or HaGadol because the sun gives light to, right, to the moon. That's why it's called Me'or HaGadol. And we find that also by Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, that Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, the Torah says that when he was became Gadol, right, what is the first thing that we see when he became Gadol is he went out to see what's happening to his brethren, that when the Jews that were enslaved in Mitzrayim, and he was going there, and, you know, sharing their pain, and even physically helping them, right, and do their tasks, whatever it was. So we see from the Torah that, you know, maturing, growing up, it's all about being a giver rather than a taker. And you see, my Shiva Zatzal always used to say that, you know, the person, a human being, is born the most narcissistic, right, entity, like a baby. The baby is the epitome of selfishness, right? They're just takers and takers and takers. Right. We see if they're hungry, they need something, they start screaming, right? There's no consideration of, like, you know, what kind of, you know, the parents, what kind of day they had. They need to be changed, they need to be fed. So it's screaming on top of their lungs. And you see, this gdila, this growing, maturing, it's a process that has to continue. As a baby grows up, so he learns or she learns to be more considerate, not to be just a taker, not to be narcissistic, so to speak. Right? And Hashem expects that kind of maturing process to continue. Right? Sometimes we see grown-ups in their, I don't know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, that they're still that selfish baby. That, you know, they are very self-centered, and this is all what they care about. So Torah expects us, like, to be part of, like, this, to be godel, to grow, and that, you know, and that growth, it's mamash, it's conditional of being able to you know, to transform ourselves from takers into givers. This is basically, and that's why the Torah, right? Torah it starts with Gemilut Chasadim and ends with Gemilut Chasadim. And the very first act that the Torah tells us after Hashem finished creation, he did was he brought Adam and Chava together. So Gemara says, you see, Torah starts with, like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being a giver, right? And on the other hand, the very last act that the Torah mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu did was, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom again. It's like, you know, it's being a giver. So the Gemara says, you see, this Sefer, the Torah, starts, right, with being a giver and ends with that. And whatever you have between everything else, it says, it's Torah. It's about transforming a person from being a taker, from being that narcissistic baby, into a giver. So this is really the foundation that the Torah lays for us, as far as in the relationships. First of all, that, you know, we have to realize, like Adam HaRishon, being lonely, lo tov hiyot Adam levado, right? And we need that companionship. And the Torah tells us that this process of maturing, right, through relationships, comes to its culmination in marriage. Right. You know, a lot of times I say this under the chuppah, you see, it's, the Torah tells us that Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak be'ishto. After Hashem creates Chava and brings Adam and Chava together, right, the Torah says Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak be'ishto. So the simple meaning is that, you know, okay, so that's why when people get married, right? So what do? Ya'azov et ish et aviv et imo, they leave their parents and they cling one to each other, right? Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak v'ishto, right? But really, the deeper meaning of this sentence, which is crucial in understanding what Borei Olam, what Hashem had in mind in marriage, is that Hashem tells us that when we are born into one relationship, right? And that relationship is we are born as children to our parents. This is the first relationship. And then Hashem tells us, when you get married, Al ken ya'azov ish, like, put that relationship aside of being a child, being a taker. And then with the Vakbe Ishto, because here in this relationship, you're starting something new. Here, it's all about giving, not about taking. And this is the deeper meaning of what it says. Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak v'ishto. Now, you see, we need a model, really, how to create relationships. We need a Torah model to see, like, you know, what are the secrets? What are, is the HaKadosh Baruch Hashem didn't just leave us in this world like without any. Hashem has given us a Torah. The Torah is Torah Chaim. It's a Torah for life. It's how to live. And it's not just about Olam Haba, right? The Torah life is about making our lives here in this world also to be happy. Right? Hashem expects us to be happy people in this world, and He has given us the tools. And this the tool is Torah Torah Kedusha. So the Torah gives us a model that, you know, I'm going to probably spend the rest of today and probably next week's session in studying this model, and then see what kind of lessons you could culminate from that, like, you know, really to create relationship about relationships, and then Be'ezrat Hashem will move from there on. There is a beautiful sefer that I would like to introduce that I'm going to use part of it for our discussions. It's called Tomer Devorah. Tomer Devorah, I guess translated the Palm Tree of Devorah. It's a Kabbalistic book. It was written by Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, who was the Rebbe of Arizal, lived in Tzfat. And the book is, you know, it's the foundation. It's on Kabbalah. But it's not, you know, this is not something that, you know, they would teach down the block here. This is something about something it would relate to. And you see, it's like, you know, it's like using space technology for daily life, right? So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero in this Sefer, right, which I'm going to just, you know, just share with you inside his introduction, he really sets up the rules, like, you know, how could we derive from the Torah, right, this model of, you know, what Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructing us, right, to create proper relationships, right? You see, he says, Ha'adam ra'uy she'yitdame lekono. He says, a person is supposed, the task of a person being in this world is that, you know, he should make himself similar to Hashem. Right. By the way, we should know, the Torah says, Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv v'imo v'davak v'ishto. This term of devekut, clinging, I don't know how it's translated to English, devekut, it's used in Torah in two connotations. One is in marriage, and one is our relationship to Hashem. Right. You would not find this term anywhere else in the Torah. The Torah says, right, in Bereshit, it says, Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv ve'et imo ve'davak ve'ishto, right, as we explained. And later on, the Torah says, Ubo tidbakun, that Hashem wants us to be davak to Hashem. It's the same term, to cling to Hashem and to cling into marriage with your husband and wife. The same exact terminology. And Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says that really, if you want to cling to Hashem, we have to become similar to Him. If we follow Hashem's characteristics, so this brings the vekut. That being similar to Hashem brings that the vekut. So we need to study Hashem's characteristics and to emulate Him. And through that, we are going to achieve two things. We are going to have that devekut to Hashem, and we are going to learn how to create that devekut that in a relationship between husband and wife. So he says, "Ha'adam ra'uy sheitdame lekono, va'az yeh besod hatzura ha'elyona, tzelemudmud she'ilu yidume begufo velo bepeulot." Now he says, this is something Kabbalistic, very, very, very deep, that our body, the physique of us, right, resembles, right, the sefirot to Hashem. He says a person is created, when the Torah says that Hashem created Adam betzelem Elokim, as an image of God, this is in God, obviously Hashem doesn't have any images. But you see, the way our bodies are built, right, it has to do with sefirot. We are not going to go into that. So, but there is, you know, you see, the way Hashem has created us is just, you know, one notion of that. That, you know, you have the brain on top, heart, like, you know, the heart is lower, and the other parts of the body are lower than that. And this is not a coincidence. This is something that, you know, Hashem wants to tell you, right? In our lives, the brain has to rule, right? To give you a, you know, like Nachash, we talk so much about Nachash, the snake, that he was the one that, you know, like the Satan, etc. Nachash, everything is on one level. The head and the heart, everything is on one level. This is a Nachash. This is Pasul. The right thing is, it has to be, we human beings, and we are the only creatures like that we stand straight. So we have the brain on top, and the heart. You know, we had a few weeks where we were talking about this. Mm. I said jokingly, like, you know, they say, you know, you have Hasidim, and you have the non-Hasidim, the Litvaks, so to speak. You see, the Hasidim, whenever they want to daven, you know, they have a gartel, right? A gartel that they put to daven. Why do they do that? Because they want to separate the higher spheres from the lower spheres. That's why they use a gartel. So by Hasidim, the heart is also, it's something elevated, right? The Litvaks, the non-Hasidic Ashkenazim, they don't use a gartel. They wear a tie. They say, no, the heart is also only the brain, right? The Arabs, they do everything. Right? But you see, there has to be some kind of hierarchy, right? There is a hierarchy that Hashem, the way Hashem has created us. You have the brain, right? There is an order, and it goes very deep. You see, in Kabbalistic writings, right? They talk about, like, you know, it's we just think, okay, it's very functional, etc. But, you know, I'm not going to go into that. But Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says the same way that a person, in his body, so to speak, he reflects. He says, "She'ilu yedume begufo velo bapeulot haru machziv asura." Right? He says, it's not just that the body has to resemble the order, the hierarchy that Hashem had in mind. He says, but also we have, right, we need, he says, if we are not mitdame, if we are not similar to, if we don't make ourselves like Hashem, also in his characteristics, so then this thing of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, Betzelem Elokim, it's not going to be fulfilled. Right, so it's like it's a two-way thing. It has to be the same way that, you know, physically that resemblance exists. It needs to be also, right, in our characteristics. So lefichach ra'uy sheyitdame el peulot haketer shen 13 midot shel rachamim adyonot. So that brings Rabbi Moshe Cordovero to a pasuk in Micha. That in that pasuk, right, the Navi teaches us about 13 attributes of Hashem. Right, 13 attributes that Kadosh Baruch Hu has. Mi el kamocha nosei avon v'over al pesha l'shei nachalato. And Rosh Hashanah, when we say tashlich, we say this over and over. So it's mi el kamocha nosei avon v'over al pesha, etc. It's talking about certain attributes that Kadosh Baruch Hu characterizes that Hashem has. And Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says we need to study each one of these attributes. And then the bad news is that we need to emulate Hashem. It's very easy to talk about, oh, Hashem is so great, Hashem is compassionate, this and that. Beautiful. What does it have to do with me? The bad news is that we need to incorporate those attributes in the relationships that we create. And you see, I personally could tell you that, you know, studying this sefer in the yeshiva mamash transformed me personally, right? It's really, you know, but you see, it's not something just to come to a lecture and hopefully to enjoy it and that's it. It needs something that takes practice. We need to go over and over and to internalize these concepts, right? To internalize these concepts, whoever has come to my classes, you'll see a lot of things that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be going through. It's not news. I use this a lot, right? But really, what Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says, and this is something that, you know, a lot of yeshivot, especially the ones of Elul, they learn Tomer Devorah, because you see, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and you're talking about repentance, Shuvah, etc., right? It's all about correcting our relationships. Right. It says in about Yom Kippur, it says, "Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem yitzhar." Yom Kippur, when a person does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him. But things that are amongst us in our relationships, whatever needs to be corrected, that, you know, you have how many Yom Kippurs come and go, it's not going to help. Yom Kippur is not going to correct, right, any problems that, you know, we have as far as, like, you know, the relationships that we create, whatever, it's not improper there. Yom Kippur is not going to help that. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem lifnei Hashem yitzhar. Yom Kippur, fasting, going to slichot, etc., etc., this is just between us and Hashem. It's going to take care of it. That's why in yeshivot, right, this emphasis is, like, you know, like, especially when it comes the month of Elul, a lot of yeshivot, they study Tomer Devorah, because Tomer Devorah gives you the ingredients, it gives you, a plan of action, how to work on the midot, and how to bring about that, you know, the corrections that we need, Be'ezrat Hashem, to be able to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have to realize that, again, going back to the teachings of Kabbalah, the worst punishment is Gilgul. Right, when the neshama leaves this world, right? So, and goes through, like, you know, we have to our lifetime achievements and failures are reviewed. So, according to that, accordingly, there is a plan of action and correction for us. There are certain things, you know, whatever shortcomings between us and Hashem, those are going to be take care of over there, hopefully. Going to hell here and there, it's going to be cleared off, right? But the worst punishment is Gilgul, is being sent back to this world, reincarnation, which Kabbalah heavy duty believes in that, right? That we are all reincarnated souls, who knows how many times, right? But this reincarnation, this coming back to this world, it's not for Shabbat, Kashrut, this between the mitzvot that is between us and Hashem. It's between us and other human beings. Ben Adam l'chavero, right? We need to be sent back, because this is, you know, if we had mistakes towards our fellow human beings up there, they cannot correct that. We need to go back to the same setting, right, and to correct it. And it's a very famous Chofetz Chaim says, a lot of times we are stuck in situations that, you know, we begged for it. We begged for those situations. I think last week we had, I told the story from the Maharal that in Prague, in the city of Prague, there was a young boy that was mute and dumb. He was born, like, you know, and a lady came to Maharal. She had a question about the chicken, whether the chicken is kosher or not, that after they had shechted it, right, they have to check the innards to see if it's kosher or not. She comes to Maharal, so the Maharal tells her, go to this boy that was, everybody knew him in town, and ask him the question. So she says, what, you know, listen to me, go there. So this lady goes to the house, she finds, you know, she goes there, she knocks on the door, and she has a chicken with her there, and she asks this boy, and she's like, talking to whom? Like, she asks the question, and all of a sudden, this boy that had never uttered a word in his life, he tells her, ha'of kasher, like, you know, that the chicken is kosher. He says that and he dies. So the whole city, the whole town was, you know, in shock. They asked Maharal what happened. So Maharal said that this boy, this young boy, was the Gilgul, right, of the neshama of a big rabbi that lived in Prague, like, you know, years back, and he was a big tzaddik. But you see, this rav, late Friday afternoon, right before Shabbat, a widow a lady, a very poor lady, that didn't have any food, anything. She had a chicken, and she had, you know, she got the shuchet shechtit, and you know, she doesn't have anything to eat for Shabbat. That's all what she has, and she has some orphans, and so she goes to this rabbi, and he asks him if it's kosher or not, and he didn't have patience, you know, to check, and they said, no, it's not kosher, it's not good, it's taref, and she had to throw it away, and they starved, they didn't have food for Shabbat. So he went back to Shamayim, everything else was fine. This was his only problem. So they sent him back, because I said, up there, this is not going to help. Right? You know, these kind of questions, when he wronged an orphan and widows over there, he needs to go back and to correct it. So he's neshama. Right? So now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send him back, Hashem wanted to send back this neshama to this world, so he begged Hashem, if you send me back as a normal human being again, who knows, I'm going to have other sins, etc. Right? I know what you want to send me back to correct this one thing, but you know, who knows, maybe I'm going to go back and do a lot of other wrong things. So what did Hashem do? Right? Hashem said, okay, fine. I'm going to send you back as this, this dumb kid, etc., etc., that you know, you're not mechuyav in enemy, so you cannot do anything wrong because there's nothing expected of you. Just to go back and correct this one item that it was so wrong, right? So you see, Maharal says, like, you know, maybe some say, why Hashem is creating this boy like this? By the way, you should know, a lot of Gedolim, Chazonish, Stifler, they would see a retarded kid, they would stand up in front of them, because they would say, like, these retarded people are Gilgul of Big Tzadikim, because they are not expected to do any mitzvot. It's just the neshama needs a certain tikkun, right? So you see, why, or the parents say, why Hashem is sending us such a kid? But you can never know. You can never know. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is rachamav al kol ma'asav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. Like, you know, there is no love in the world like the love Hashem has for us. And a lot of times, you know, Chafetz Chaim says, it's a lot of other situations also. Here, like the person, why do you have to have such a kid? What is the purpose of such a kid? You can never know. You can never know what, from the viewpoint of Gilgul, what's going on. Just to share with you, a personal thing that, how many years ago? Probably 12, 13 years ago, I used to teach in Milken. I used to give one, there was a group of Persian families that had their kids in Milken High, so they wanted to have some Sephardi, they call it a Sephardi club, Sephardi minyan, and they asked me, once a week I used to give a class there. So it's very interesting, you see, this is not an Orthodox school in any way, and I think they were very, when I went there the first time, so I went to their office, and a certain lady that I thought probably the secretary, right, she took me to the class, and she stayed there. She stayed there in the class. And you see, this, I started giving that class right after there was a tragedy here in the community. There was a young boy, I think was in a car accident, and he had passed away, and it was all these teenagers, they were in a shock, a state of shock. So I spoke to them about Gilgul, and I said, look, whoever dies, God forbid, younger than 20 years of age. So we know that there is nothing that they could have done to deserve this, because Hashem does not punish younger than 20. Right? And I spoke to him a little bit about Gilgul, and I spoke about this notion also that we believe that, retarded children, etc., they are Gilgul of Tzadikim. And that's why, they are exempted from the mitzvot, etc. There was a question, it was a very lively discussion. And then at the conclusion of that session, so this lady that I thought, it turned out she was the dean of the school, right? So she told me on the way back to the office, she said, I can't wait to call my husband. I said, why? He said, my husband from his previous marriage, he has two autistic children. And what you told me, I'm sure it's going to change his whole perspective on what's the inside story, etc. You see, you can never know. Chafetz Chaim says, it could be a person that is really struggling financially. whatever person is struggling financially and constantly davening to Hashem, Hashem, why me? Why do I have to suffer like this? On and on and on. But it could be that this person begged for this situation. It could, he says, you know, Chofetz Chaim says, like, you know, sometimes, like, you see, you have a person that Hashem has given him, you know, a lot of money, and he was here in this world and didn't give enough tzedakah. Okay, he goes up there. Right, he goes up there, Yom Hadin, and they see everything. You know, he did, all the, kept all the mitzvah, they didn't give enough tzedakah. What? We have to send him back. So he's going to come and beg Hashem, Hashem, if you send me back again and give me a lot of money, I might fail again and not give enough tzedakah. So please, this time around, send me as a pauper. Don't give me money. Don't give me money. And whatever I'm going to plead, don't listen to me. Because the whole purpose is to come back. You know, I have to make up for the shortcoming. I'm afraid I'm going to make it worse. So Chafetz Chaim says, a lot of times you see a person like, you know, davens and davens and please, why, you know, why my tefillot don't accept it? But you can never know. It could be that he or she, they begged for this situation, right, the previous time that they were here. So you see, the point is again that we have to realize any shortcoming in relationships, this is not, whether, you know, it's like not giving tzedakah, it's also the same, right? Or you see, sometimes, and again, you know, there are certain situations that, you know, the Torah says that gets chas v'chalila, divorce is the answer. Like, we are not like Catholics, etc. Get is one of the mitzvot of the Torah. Obviously, this is, you have heard it probably many times, right? The Tosafot brings it, Gaon brings it, that, you know, in Hebrew, get, divorce, like these two letters do not come together in any other word than get. Hashem says, if there is no other way to mend the relationship, so then get is an option. But, right, you see, the point is that we see that, you know, the Torah, this is, you know, the get is an, when nothing else helps, this is something that the Torah believes that most other issues could be rectified, right? So this option is also mentioned in the, you know, and sometimes, right, sometimes it could be a person's in a relationship. The Mekubalim will tell you that this also has to do with Gilgul. See, again, I don't want to be miscoded, and I don't want to be to misunderstood. Get is an option in the Torah. But a lot of situations back in Iran, it's the Besuz Besaz. In America, it became a four-letter word, but sometimes, Kabbalistically, a person is in a relationship really to make up for what they wronged last time around. You see, if a person has, God forbid, a very vicious husband, maybe last time they had a very kind husband that they took advantage of, so they come back, right, somehow to make up for the shortcomings from the previous Gilgul. And again, please don't, you know, I'm not saying in certain situations that really get is the answer, right? But you see, this concept of Gilgul could really have a lot of ramifications. And And in Kabbalah, this is the worst punishment. The worst punishment possible is Gilgul. All the other consequences are minor in comparison to Gilgul. But Gilgul happens for what? For shortcomings in relationships between Ben Adam l'Chaveru, between us and other human beings. Not between us and Hashem. So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero tells us, basically, that what we need to do is, right, we have to study Hashem's attributes and to try to emulate them in our relationships. And through this, we are gonna achieve two things. We are gonna achieve, first of all, right, devekut. This is something that's gonna rectify, it's gonna correct the relationships here. It's gonna create devekut between human beings and between a couple, spouses, and also it's going to bring devekut to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are similar to Hashem, as he says, Ha'adam ra'uy sheyitdameh lekono. When we are, this is a very deep Kabbalistic concept. Right. You see, similarities attract. Right. When we go to a group and you see somebody that you have something in common with them, right? So you get attracted to them, right? Here it's the same thing. If the goal is, and in Kabbalah they tell us, you know, Ramchal tells us in Derech Hashem that the biggest pleasure that you could imagine it's being dovek v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There is no pleasure higher than that, right? Being atem adivekim b'Hashem lokechem kulechem hayom. When a person is dovek to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so then it says, you know, it says oz v'chedva b'mkomo. When a person is dovek b'Hashem, he comes to that dovekut. This is something that's going to give him strength. This is something that's going to give him joy. All comes from that. Once I heard Rabbi Becker, I think, was saying, you know, to give us what does it mean, this pleasure of being dovek b'Hashem. I was saying, I can imagine, like, you know, for a teenager, like, you know, to being backstage with his idol, I don't know, sports or from Hollywood, whatever. What it means to be, like, you know, in that proximity, right? I always tell over a story from my sister, you know, when she was before she was married, she was working in Manhattan. So once she told my wife that one of her friends, a single religious girl, once she went to Manhattan to have ice cream, to buy ice cream, and on the line she was standing behind somebody, like, you know, she looks back and I think Robert Redford, some movie, you know, I don't know who what, was standing behind her, and, you know, she goes and she pays for the ice cream and stuff, and she says, where is the ice cream? So the seller says, you put the ice cream in your wallet. Ah, being in the proximity of a dream. Could you imagine, like, you know, if that brings you such a joy, what it means? Just to give us a glimpse, what does it mean to be Davek B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Borei Olam, to be close to Hashem? Right? You see, similar to that, I'll tell you another story that, you know, Chovot HaLevavot says a person is supposed to fall in love with Hashem. And he says, when a person it's like human beings that fall in love, that, you know, they walk into walls, right? I remember one of years back, at the beginning of days of Torah Chaim, one of the single guys, he was going out and he was got engaged. So I would never forget that. I used to see, the way I would see it, that, you know, from the back they would come up and I would see he opened the door, like, and he wants to come to shul, and then he smiles and he leaves. And then he came back, like, you know, 15 minutes later. So afterwards I said, what happened? He says, you won't believe it. In the morning, I wanted to come to shul, and I had put my tefillin in the fridge, and I took the sandwiches. Instead of my tefillin, I came to shul. It was in a different world, totally. So this is like a being falling in love. But the idea is that in this, the goal is that the vekut to be davek b'Hashem. We don't know what kind of joy that could bring to a person. It says, "Ol v'chedva bimkomo," right? When a person comes to that kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, devekut b'Hashem, this gives him strength. It gives a person joy, right? So, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero is telling us, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, telling us, look, when a person works on his midot, on these characteristics, we are going to elaborate with Rav Hashem, right? To become similar, this to become davek b'Hashem, it's going to be through ra'ush yitdame lekono. When we become dome to our Hashem, to God, when we achieve that, so not only we are going to have devekut b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we are going to be able really to, you know, from the Torah point of view, which is the emet of the Torah, right? You have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created us and he has given us a manual how to live this life properly and happily. When we do that, we are going to be able, with Zat Hashem also, to create that that devekut ben adam lechaverom in the relationships, right? So There is one, you know, Be'ezrat Hashem, you know, next week we are going to be going through the some of the attributes that Rabbi Moshe Cordovero talks about. But you see, one of the fundamental ones that, you know, I'm just going to talk about this tonight is one of the characteristics that Hashem has is Hakarat HaTov. Hakarat HaTov, appreciation. Right? There's a midrash that says, Why is it that Mashiach ben David comes from Ruta Moavia? You know, David HaMelech's maternal ancestor was Ruta Moavia, which she was a convert. We know that, you know, Ruta Moavia was a convert. So the Midrash says, how come Mashiach has to come from Ruta Moavia? So the Midrash says an unbelievable thing. The Midrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hakarat HaTov. What's Hakarat HaTov? So the Midrash says that Eglon, the king of Moab, which was the father of Ruta Moavia, or the grandfather, he was an obese person. It would take 8 people to pick him up. 8 people, right? So when Ehud ben Gera, one of the Jewish judges, wanted to go to kill him, because he hated the Jews, this Eglon Melech Moab. So he went there, and he told him, he was a lefty like me, and he hit the sword on the right side, whatever. So he was able to get into the palace. He went in front of Eglon, and he said, "Your Majesty, I have a word from the God of Israel for you." As soon as Eglon heard the name of Hashem, our God, he, all by himself, he got up without any help. Usually 8 people have to help him. He had such a respect for Hashem. And then Ehud killed him. Right? But the Midrash says, because this Eglon Melech Moab had such respect for Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has gratitude. Hashem has gratitude, Hakarat HaTov, appreciation for Eglon, and that's why Moshiach comes from him, right? We see one of the midot, one of the attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses is this sense of Hakarat HaTov. And as a matter of fact, right, this Hakarat HaTov that we're talking about, it's something that, you know, it's that Adam HaRishon lacked. You know, it says David HaMelech compliments Adam HaRishon, Mashiach, right? It comes, Adam is Adam, David, Mashiach, right? One of the major shortcomings of Adam HaRishon was that he did not have a Hakarat HaTov. He had two major shortcomings, Adam HaRishon. One was that he did not take responsibility. Right, after he sinned, it's the fact that he sinned, it was expected, right? It was expected that Adam HaRishon is going to sin. That wasn't the problem. The problem for Adam HaRishon was the aftermath of the sin, right? One was he did not take responsibility, and the other one was that he did not have a sense of appreciation. When he sinned, he said, what did he say? Ha'isha shana tata imadi? This, it's not me, you know, he didn't take responsibility, and he said, it was the wife that you gave me. So Hashem said, you forgot how miserable you were when you were lonely, right? That you were depressed. You don't have appreciation for your wife, right? This was the sin of Adam HaRishon, lack of appreciation, right? And we have to realize, for relationships, one of the essentials is exactly that. To develop that sense of appreciation of Hakarat HaTov. This was something that Adam HaRishon lacked. Adam HaRishon did not have that sense of appreciation. And this is really the major sin. And you see, this is something that, you know, and if you're supposed to emulate Hashem, you have to realize this, Eglon Melech Moav, he was worshipping idols, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at this point that, you know, the good that he had that sense of appreciation. Right, and we need to emulate that, and this is in any relationship, and especially when it comes to marriage, right? Hakarat HaTov, sense of appreciation, is fundamental, right, for any kind of relationship to work, whether it's between us and Hashem, or it's between Ben Adam la Makom or Ben Adam la Chavero. Fine. We are going to be Bezrat Hashem elaborating on this. It's good, if every week, you would help me to have some good jokes. We need you, Mr. Habusha. Next week is going to be your turn. Okay. Fine. You see, they say, I don't know, from who, we have Dafyomi every morning 5:30. If gentlemen are interested, please join. Usually after the Daf, guys take turns telling jokes. So we're saying, one of the guys was saying, somebody was his 40th anniversary or something. So his friend says, okay, what are you going to do to your wife? 40th anniversary? What are you going to do? He says, on our 20th anniversary, I took my wife to Italy. He says, wow, where are you going to take her now? He says, now I'm going to go and bring her back. So that's one way to achieve Shalom Bayit. Anyway, so any questions,
recap,
comments?
Recap, uh-huh? recap.
What's that?
Recap.
Recap. This is usually we have so basically, okay, just to recap in one sentence, to create relationships, we need a model, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that model in the Torah, right? If we learn, if we study Hashem's attributes, the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, and we emulate that in our daily lives, right, we see how Hashem acts with us. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches by example, right? Hashem has Hakarat HaTov, we need to work on Hakarat HaTov. And we're going to be talking about a lot of other attributes. Achieving that, it's going to bring us, the Ezrat Hashem is going to give us Devekut. As we saw, this term Devekut comes in the Torah only, the entire Torah, it comes only in two instances. In the relation in marriage, and also in relationship with Hashem, right? So Bezrat Hashem working on these midot and internalizing it, it's going to Bezrat Hashem bring about that double devekut, Bezrat Hashem. Yes.
Shalom, I really enjoyed your lecture as usual. Thank you very much.
And very kind.
و خدا رو لال آفرید و عرض است که زبون ما چقدر باعث گناه ما میتونه باشه
right.
و این خیلی به من جالب بود و خواستم میگم اگر امکانه اون 13 خصوصیات خداوند رو که گفتیم یکیش اپریسیشنه امکان داره فقط بقید را just to go over just to mention it.
Okay, see, I have here the Hebrew text. Miel kamocha nose mi. This is going to be Bezrat Hashem in the coming lectures. We're going to be talking about it. But mi el kamocha, who is God like you? Nose avon over al pesha. You see, each one of them, we have to elaborate. So Bezrat Hashem, stay tuned. We'll talk about it. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay, I hope next week you're going to come with some good jokes. Okay, we are done for tonight.